It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I'm J-Dog, and joining me right now is a true renaissance man, in addition to being an advocate for above-the-neck health and wellness, as well as being an entrepreneur, as well as being an author and an athlete and an advocate for education. He is also Eddie Papowski's number one fan, also a swell dresser, as well as a doting grandfather, loving husband, and fantastic father, and also the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, the baseball awards presenter himself, and not just baseball awards, but awards in general, like scholarship awards and the like, Mr. Tom Raffio. Tom, how are you today?
Fantastic, Jay. You know, Jay, people don't realize all the great work you do arranging all of these radio shows, and yet you obviously have a great radio voice. And yes, I was able to present the Miss New Hampshire Scholarship STEM Awards. And what people don't realize is that Miss New Hampshire is more of a scholarship program. And this is how many of these young women finish their studies. But today is a different topic. Joining me is Michael Reed, or Mike Reed, who is the president of Stebbins Commercial Properties. And Mike, thank you for joining me. I think we were really intrigued with your background, because you're obviously now president of Stebbins Commercial Properties, but I think you started in the nonprofit social work field. So take your time and go through your career bio, and then how did you end up at Stebbins?
Well, it's a short show, Tom, so I'm going to have to abbreviate a little bit, but it's good to see you. We saw each other at the Moore Center Garden Party, so thank
you.
We
did, yeah, that was great.
Thank you for having me on. It really started, Tom, back in 1982. I graduated from UNH in December of 82, and almost immediately took a job at the Mental Health Center of Greater Manchester. And it was in a re-socialization program. And that program, the goal of that program was to get patients and clients. And if you recall, back in that time, early 80s and even the late 70s, the state was going through deinstitutionalization. So there were a number of patients who were coming down into the Manchester area from Concord. And the mental health center was, assigned a number of those patients. So I had somewhere between 150 and 200 people, all of a sudden just working with them and helping them basically get reintegrated into their communities, helping them maybe with, a part-time job but just helping them to try to feel better about themselves, finding, having a sense of accomplishment, finding a sense of belonging. And to me, that was very satisfying. And to be able, to see them growing and moving forward and getting better. And it also gave me a front row seat into what the Mental Health Center does from children to seniors. In many cases with folks with, what I would call some simple challenges in life, which we all have, to some of the most profound mental health illnesses, and how well the Mental Health Center worked with that and all of those facets. And that, I think, was the beginning that gave me really kind of a sense of purpose. It made me feel good. I got satisfaction from it, seeing that I was able to help somebody, and that kind of gave me a lot of joy. And so it was in 1985 I transitioned and began a career with Mark Stebbins, who was the CEO of Stebbins Enterprises and Procon, which is our sister construction company. And that was, we're basically a development company that has since evolved now over 39 years that I've been with them, evolved into property management, commercial investment, industrial brokerage, which I head up. And it, almost immediately, once I got involved there, There were, of course, you meet a lot of people in the industry and you start to see all of these people. And I was only, I was 25, 26 years old. I didn't realize that people in their careers chose to go out and do all of this volunteering. So I think my first love was Easter Seals. And it was Dewey O'Neill, God rest his soul, who asked me, he said, we're putting a team together for to raise money for Easter Seals. And if you remember, you and I, Tom, probably remember the Jerry Lewis telethon.
Of course, yeah.
Way back 100 years ago, almost, it feels like it.
It seems like it, yeah.
And that was a national appeal, right? But all of the local Easter Seals had a role to play, and they would form teams. And I was on Ronnie Pappas's team, who was Pappy's Pizza. And there were probably 20 or 25 of us on that team. And that was really my first involvement with doing something inside of Easter Seals. And I had so much fun, and I met so many new people, and that I was hooked. And I then began to come to their events and volunteer to help out on other initiatives. And sooner or later, you get noticed for your willingness to do those things. And I jumped on the board, and then literally was on the board for many, many, many years, and worked my way right up through the chairs and became chairman of the board of Easter Seals at a time. I think it was like 2016 when we were Easter Seals, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts,
New York.
Yeah, we were the largest Easter Seals in the country. And that brought with it a lot of responsibility, but it also brings about, and the benefit to me brings about a lot of learning. You know, I've really got to know how boards work. You know, I gained a lot of knowledge, and so it was really a great takeaway for me over all those years.
So there's a lot to unpack there. So let's stay in the nonprofit community outreach field for a little bit. So mental health, of course, you know, fast forward and here we are, and it's still a challenge. I've worked very closely with Chief Justice Broderick on the whole mental health, you know, awareness issue. And recently I was at New Hampshire Hospital. We funded a mural for the break room, and just kind of meeting some of the people there. It's definitely still a challenge. So thank you for that early work. And so what's your assessment with the change in public policy that occurred back then? Have we evolved? Has it gotten better, or is it still a challenge?
I think it has gotten better. I think we still have a long way to go. I mean, back then, stigma was very strong in the community. And I recall, again, when I first started out trying to help people get even a little bit of part-time work, it was practically impossible. I think that's changing, and I don't think it's necessary. I think it's all of the area agencies, such as, you know, you've got Easter Seals, Moore Center, Mental Health Center, anyone who's dealing with developmental disabilities of all types. I think they've been very, very helpful in breaking the stigma. And working through, we're seeing so many more people working in, you know, I'll give you a perfect example. My nephew is on the autism spectrum, and he holds a job at McDonald's, and he's held a job at McDonald's for years, where before that, they would not even consider hiring a person with a disability. So to answer your question, yes, I think we've made a lot of strides, and I credit, the staff of Easter Seals, Moore Center, Mental Health Center, all of these area agencies that have really stepped up and moved into the corporate world. But at the same time, I will credit those who are on boards And as you know, a board is made up of a very diverse cross-section of individuals who are usually leaders in the community, and they're able to kick open doors, if you will. I think we've made great strides, and I'm hoping that that continues.
I want to spend a few minutes with Easter Seals, but back to the mental health. I think you're going to become chair of the Greater Manchester Mental Health Center. So obviously, Stebbins' company is supporting that.
Yeah, and I have to say, I'd have to back up and give Mark Stebbins, who unfortunately left us way too soon a few years ago, that Mark was my mentor. I was 25 years old, and he was always behind me 100% to get involved. And I think that's, and I credit Mark immensely, you know, along with many others, you know, Dewey O'Neill, Larry Gammon, John Sammenfeld, and others. I'm very much looking forward to that leadership position. Elaine Michaud is the current chairman of the board and doing a fantastic job, and we have a great board with a lot of depth. So I'm looking forward to keeping the mission moving.
Well, thanks for your level five leadership. J-Dog, this is intriguing, isn't it? All of the, here we are, you thought we were going to be talking about construction, but instead we're talking about corporate social responsibility.
That we are, and Michael Reed, the president of Stebbins Commercial Properties. You can log on to stebbinscommercialproperties.com, and you also call 603-669-6323. The number again, 603-669-6323. When we return, we're taking a break. We'll talk more with Michael Reed of Stebbins Commercial Properties on Northeast Delta Dental Radio here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I'm Jay Dogg, alongside Tom Raffio, the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Michael Reed, the president of Stebbins Commercial Properties, is the guest this week on Northeast Delta Dental Radio. You can log on to stebbinscommercialproperties.com or call 603-669-6323, and we'll give the number out again before the broadcast ends. As I was told, you can never give out the number enough, especially when it comes to radio. It's like you can never give the score enough in baseball when you're on the radio.
That's so right, Jay, because I get so frustrated when I turn on the radio and the announcer doesn't tell me the score of the game within, you know, 30 seconds. Anyway, before we get into Stebbins specifically, but I want to spend some time with Easter Seals because Dewey and all the people that you mentioned, you know, Larry Gammon, of course, you know, the new president, Maureen Beauregard. I remember vividly Mark and Sally coming to Easter Seals for, you know, the significant financial donations that they made personally in the company to help Easter Seals. And brings back some really great memories. And I think, like you said, we all have mentors. Mine happened to be Silvio Dupuy. So when I moved to New Hampshire in 95, he explained to me how to get involved with the community. And it sounds like Mike gave you that sort of a role model ship that you needed, to make it happen. So I thank you for the work, not only with Manchester Mental Health, but also Easter Seals. So in your role, how do you mentor, now you're on the other side of it, how do you mentor your younger teammates to, you know, maybe try this board, or that I know that in our company, people know all the boards that I'm on, and I always, you know, when they chat with me, I always tell them, you know, pick one or two things that you're passionate about, and stick to that, and get involved, whether it's whether it's something local with your church or synagogue, or whether it's a more well-known, you know, nonprofit. So what's your technique to be a role model for your younger employees?
Well, I think you hit on a couple of things that are important, John, but I think you, first of all, the leadership in whatever you do has to be willing to every now and then allow you the time to go and this, because it's typically during a work day. There might be a board meeting, might be down near the end of the day, but you have to be allotted that time to go and get to a meeting that might be at 4 o'clock if you work till five. But I say the same thing. Think about something that appeals to you. Think about something if you had an experience in the past where you have a relative or a friend that may have had, you know, some sort of disability or, you know, a mental health challenge, anything along those lines, or a church group, anything at all that gets you outside of your typical sphere of work. There are so many benefits. Not only are you going to learn a lot, you're going to get a passion for that, whatever it is, because you can't help but get that satisfaction of helping others. It's a, and I think once you get that bug, you'll continue. There's also these, there's some definite benefits that I, back then when I was in my early 20s, I had no idea that serving on these boards or getting involved in helping them with their development, that people would come back to me. They'd say, "Hey, Mike, you know, geez, you did a great job over working with the Palace Theater or the Moore Center or the Mental Health Center, or Easter Seals. You helped us with this, and we were around you, we watched you, and we know what you do. And now we'd like to have you come in and meet with our leadership and help us develop this 50,000 square foot building." So there was all these unintended, benefits of getting involved. And I would say that to you, don't get involved because you think you're going to get all this business. Get involved for the right reasons. Get involved because you want to help, because, you know, it's time, treasure, and talent, those three T's. Get involved because that's what you're willing to do. That's what you want to do. And the rest of it will come after. So that's
Mike, we're two peas on the pod, because that's kind of the pitch I give to people, which is never do it because you think ultimately, you know, business will come your way. But that is the nice icing on the cake if it happens organically and naturally. And the other point you made, which I think hopefully listening audience gets this, is that when you're on that nonprofit board or a community board, you as a young person are getting, as you said, familiarity with how board governance works. You know, people, I'm on so many boards, you know, I've seen great boards, I've seen boards, you know, in need of improvement, but as a younger employee, you'll sort of get involved with a nonprofit and you'll see how that whole process works. And Mike, would you say that that then makes you a better employee at your primary job?
You know, it absolutely does. You know, my mother, God rest her soul, used to say to me, if you want to get something done, find the busiest person to do it. and it's true, because you have to be really good at time management. And I've told friends, I said, I had the craziest day today. They said, "Well, what happened?" I said, "Well, I worked in real estate. I got in at 8 o'clock. I worked on some real estate stuff till 10. And then the rest of the day was nonprofits work, you know, meetings and phone calls and so forth." But you really do get great joy out of doing that work, and the friendships that you will form, it will be there a lifetime, and it will help you, because if you need something, you can call that person that you sat on a board with, you know, 10 years ago that you know so well and is great in accounting or legal or works for the city. And so you're building that sphere that will ultimately come back and help you. So, you know, you're helping others, but you're really helping yourself as well.
Love. Well, you and I wish you get, I promise I'd never write another book, but I've written four. So we probably should get together and do some of the benefits of being so engaged from a corporate responsibility perspective. It's you do it for the right reason, but it's also a wonderful business practice. In fact, it's part of the Aldridge quality framework, you know, that we follow in terms of, you know, getting involved in the community. So here we are almost 20 minutes into the program, and we haven't even really talked about your role as president of Stebbins Commercial Properties. So obviously you spend a lot of time externally, but when you're in the office, what's your major role at Stebbins now?
Well, I'm the president. It's a small company, but we do a lot of volume. And of course, we have a lot of depth. We're vertically integrated with Procon, and Procon is a huge design company with architectural and obviously construction management. And we have brokerage and property management. So we list, sell, represent buyers, represent tenants, represent landlords, and we work all over the state. So I am incredibly busy. So you do have to be good at time management, and it's important. I focus on our business first, but I do make time to take care of my other responsibilities. And people ask me sometimes, they say, you know, is it a chore? And I'll be honest, sure. You know, if I'm in the middle of a project and I'm trying to get this thing out the door and I have a board meeting at 4 o'clock and, you know, it's 3:30 and I'm up against it. Yeah. And, you know, you go to the board meeting, you spend two and a half hours, and then you come back to the office and finish it. And are there days that I wish I didn't? Absolutely. But the benefit and the satisfaction far outweighs those times where it does feel like a chore. And I'm just, I'm being honest, because I think everybody feels that way.
Yeah, it's exactly some of the feelings I have, which is, it's great. Once I'm at that external board meeting, I'm so glad I was there, and it almost energizes me to go back to the office. I mean, it's a beautiful thing about New Hampshire is that, it's not like we got to fight Boston traffic or something to get back to the office, whatever. So, yeah, so I've had those feelings, you know, driving off to a board meeting. And now that we're back in person for a while, they were virtual. So it was actually, you actually gave us some more time. But I said, oh, my God, you know, but I'm leaving. But once I get to that, whatever that board is, New Hampshire Business Committee for the Arts, you know, as one example, the Arthritis Foundation, whatever I'm doing, it's like, oh my God, it's so moving and rewarding. And then getting younger employees to ultimately succeed me and these boards, because Mike, you and I, we've done this a lot, but we won't necessarily be here forever. So we need the next generation. So thank you for your level five leadership and sharing your advice and humility and being a level five leader. So thanks, Mike.
Tom, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure, and hope to see you soon. Hope I see you at the Morris Center Garden Party, actually.
Yep, I'll be there in June again.
Okay. Thank
Michael
you.
Reed, president of Stebbins Commercial Properties, is the guest on Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Alongside Tom Raffio, I'm J-Dog, and we're going to wrap up this edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Fear not, we'll have another edition in the near future here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. So, for Michael Reed, president of Stebbins Commercial Properties, you can log on to StebbinsCommercialProperties.com. You can also call the number 603-669-6323. Again, 603-669-6323. For Michael Reed, as well as Tom Raffio, the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, I'm J-Dog. We'll be back next time here with another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio on the Pulse of New Hampshire.